Like, what's going on?
It's just I honestly don't even want to talk about it because he wins if we talk about it. It's such sad little 5-year old. Look at me. Look at me. I learned if I say the word fuck a lot, people will get like react to it. So now I'm just saying it a lot. It's just, oh my God. I just,
let's not talk about it until after Knowledge Fight covers it. I would
like them to not cover it either. I would like them to put Alex in time out and just do like 5 episodes on Project Camelot.
Or like, Owen. I enjoyed Owen.
Let's not turn our podcast into a podcast about a podcast. That seems a little meta and a little hat on a hat. But yeah, I saw that from Alex and immediately I was just, I rolled my eyes so far into the back of my head I could see my brain. I just said, this is such pathetic attention seeking bullshit. There's no reason to give this the time of day. And every word I spend on this is a defeat for me and a victory for him. So, next subject. How about those Sox? My Red Sox, they made the playoffs. Oh. Unlike the White Sox, who are terrible and bad. And make the Pope sad.
Okay. Well, I'm glad you specified because you said, how about the Sox? And I'm like, oh, shit, I know nothing about the Sox.
Yeah.
Yeah. I feel like the Diamondbacks, because I think like they lost last night and are not they're out, like can't make whatever the big playoffs game is.
They can't make it to homecoming or whatever.
Yeah, they can't. They don't get to kiss the cool guy or whatever it is.
They don't get to kiss the guy because that's what happens in sports. When you win the big game, a sexy dude comes out, and you're just like, oh, man, I can't wait to smooch him. I mean, that's what drove Tom Brady to win 7 Super Bowls was the sexy Super Bowl guy kiss after you win the championship.
Burt Reynolds was putting on his lip balm, and he's like, oh, yes. Yeah, oh, yeah.
Tom's like, I'm so glad they got Burt again. He's got those soft lips, and he's so giving. He's so giving of a lover. Oh, man. Tender yet firm, old Burt Reynolds. That's what I've always said.
I feel like it's a bit offensive, though. Like, you know how, like, it's a tragedy in baseball history that the Yankees didn't win in 2001? I feel Arizona should win.
You should have got the Kirk magic. Charlie Kirk should have galvanized the Arizona Snake Men to the World Series.
I forgot all about that. That's right. There were people who were like, we should just let the Mets win the World Series because of the World Trade Center.
I went to the memorial this weekend, listeners, so you better go read my fucking article. but it was at the sports stadium, so it was funny to like be in the place where they hold the Super Bowl for a memorial, and then there's like fireworks as people walk out, which was so fucking funny. But I did have a question kind of for you, Steph, or if anyone knows here. The Westboro Baptist Church actually did come to this and protest outside of it. It was actually them. It was Margie Phelps, who is the daughter, the oldest daughter. And there were kids there and stuff. They actually were interviewed and said that they did actually support Kirk's views. It's just they thought the event itself was an affront to God because they're freaks in their own unique way.
And they just want attention.
That's what I was going to say. When the Westboro Baptist Church thinks you're taking it too far.
Also, too, it's just funny that they're like, we actually loved this bigot, but like, we're doing this for stunt reasons. Yeah. Are you familiar with like the remnants of the Phelps clan at all, Steph? Like, are you familiar with her?
I have a book by the daughter that came out of it. Like, the story goes that like somebody started challenging her on Twitter and they became friends, and I think they eventually got married, and like, so this interaction on Twitter brought her out of the church and stuff. But I can't find this information again. I think I had read it on Wikipedia like over a decade ago. And with Wikipedia, someone probably came in and took it out. So I can't totally vouch for it. But my understanding was the whole premise of the Westboro Baptist Church, like Fred Phelps, I think he was like a lawyer. And then I think like some of the other founding members were lawyers.
Yeah.
The whole point, because they were lawyers, they had this idea basically. Now, and this is the one, correct me if I'm wrong, this part, the whole premise behind the church was provoke people so into attacking you so then that you can sue them.
Yeah, there was a lot of that. And also they're saying because they were lawyers, they knew exactly how much they can get away with basically they knew where the line was on the First Amendment, so they could be as obnoxious as they could without putting that toe over the line and getting themselves in trouble.
Yeah. And they would go to, right after 9/11, they would go to funerals of dead soldiers.
Yeah. They went to a lot of soldiers. Yeah. They went to a lot of soldier funerals because they said they were protesting this country that allows gay people to exist or some shit like
yeah,
that.
And
yeah, they held up signs that said God loves IEDs and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Just, trying to get someone to punch them. Just desperate for someone to just haul off and clock them.
Right.
Yeah, and there are groups that go around. Like I remember for the Sandy Hook funerals, they tried showing up there. So there's like these like biker gangs that will go. I don't remember the name, but there's at least one specific biker gang that goes around and they'll rev their engines super loud to drown them out. And then they'll have people like holding blankets or banners to block them from, you know, the people who could be most hurt by their presence and stuff. And they actually showed up in my hometown of Bethlehem, Pennsylvania, sometime after 9/11, and they were trying to like stir something up there. And I think it was a Unitarian Universalist minister was like giving them cookies, and they got so angry by someone being nice to them. It pissed them off so bad.
I just looked it up. It's the Freedom Riders. They're the ones who would block them from soldier funerals. And I remember this clip of they were I don't remember why, but they were protesting a Foo Fighters concert. So Dave Grohl got this flatbed truck and got a bunch of like choir singers and came out there and was sitting on the microphone. He's like, I don't know why you guys hate me. I don't hate you. I think everybody should love each other. You shouldn't be protesting. You should be dancing. And then they just start doing a cover of the Bee Gees. You should be dancing. And like half the Westboro Baptist guys were booing them. The other half were actually kind of dancing along to it.
They were singing at this. It was really bizarre to listening to them sing hymns. I'm looking back at the signs they were carrying. They honestly should have honed their messaging a bit if they wanted to try to provoke someone to punch them, because they just had their usual like God hates F slurs kind of shtick. And it's like, well, this group agrees with you. So
I think now it's just more about putting their face, you know, getting their face in the papers than provoking a fight.
Yeah.
Harder for them to, I'm sorry. Go ahead, Mike. Sorry.
I was just reading, Margie Phelps, one of the Phelps kids. She actually argued a case before the Supreme Court for them, Snyder versus Phelps. So like that's how in it to win it they are about this stuff, that they were like, yeah, we're going to have our kid argue before SCOTUS about this stuff.
She was the one leading the protest this weekend. She's the new seemingly lead. And yeah, she was rocking the God hates F slurs. There was like legit actual, like, I think teenagers in there, underage people. So yeah, bummer that the family cult lives on, I guess. It is like mostly a family cult, right?
There's like 30 members
of the church.
They are probably experiencing right now is a crisis, because, you know, with Trump in power and all this fucking hateful rhetoric, I'm not saying they were ever needed. But their shtick, as the Overton window increasingly moves, their shtick isn't going to work anymore, because number one, people are hyped on to them. And number two, the people that they're trying to offend, the reasonable, rational, loving, compassionate people aren't in power anyway. Your guys are in power. So, you know, it's like that theory that like, that Alex Jones secretly voted, you know, for Democrats and, or, you know, Rush Limbaugh would secretly vote for Democrats and stuff, because that's when you have your highest numbers. That's when you get to be your most outrageous. So they're actually in a weak spot, you know?
I love that we're over a half hour into the pod and we're talking about the Phelpses, this absolutely completely irrelevant bunch of losers that no one's talked about since they started protesting Iraq war casualties, funerals. And we're just like, hey, you know what our audience wants? Phelps talk. Let's do this. Let's talk up those assholes. I remember when I lived out in Vegas, I got a Phelps protest. We were off the strip. There was a big church. I think it was Unitarian Universalist, so they're probably mad about that too. But we drive, and there's like two cop cars like near like the entrance, and I'm like, what the shit is that about? And then we swing by, and then in the middle of the church, we see like the Phelps is like 12 people holding all their ultra offensive signs, and I knew them. I knew what they were about, and I just yelled, "Woo, Phelpses! Go, Phelpses!" And then we drove by, and then as we got past them, there were two more cop cars on the other side, like monitoring to make sure nobody did anything stupid with them. And I was just like, man, what a weird bunch of weird losers. So anyhow, how about that Epstein thing? Isn't that a thing? Let's talk about that, seeing as how that's remotely topical. Yeah. And the 12 people that are still listening to this begging for content that's relevant to today's issues are like, oh my God, they're doing it. They're going to talk about the thing. Oh, honey, they're doing it. Come back here. Come back in the room. They're going to do the thing.
Babe, wake up. They're talking about Epstein.
Yes, exactly. Yeah, damn right. Yeah. So, the event happened, in Arizona's 7th district. The Democrat won by roughly 150%. It was, to say this election was uncompetitive would be, understating it. How do you say her name again, Haley? I've heard it like a couple times.
Adelita Grijalva.
Grijalva. The last name was the one I was looking for. Grijalva. Yeah.
There was no way in fucking hell that she was going to lose. Tucson is considered like the blue wall of Arizona. It's like closest to the border. There's just like, it's kind of like the activist scene is just like more, it's smaller than Phoenix by a lot, but like, it's just more active, like politically.
Yeah,
by a lot, in my opinion.
Yeah, it's the Austin of Arizona. It's the blue dot in the red of Arizona. And yeah, I mean, that was the thing. It's like going into that election, it was like D plus 17, and she was like 17. Get the fuck out of here! I'm winning this thing by a million. So it's just like, yeah. So that happened, and then there was all this reporting about how the Republicans began pissing and shitting themselves about this, and that there was a quote unquote, like full court press try to get any of the four Republicans that are on the discharge petition to withdraw from the discharge petition. And somehow, I mean, Maisie obviously wasn't going to withdraw. That dude is in it to win it on this stuff, but somehow, America's greatest hope for democracy, MTG, Lauren Boebert, Nancy Mace, you know, the people I wake up every morning and I'm grateful for.
Yes.
The people that I'm like, man, what sterling representatives of America we have here. The bastions of democracy, the pillars of our political discourse, those three. Somehow none of them have bent the knee and have decided to withdraw their signature from the petition. And so after that all happened and it's become very clear that they're not budging. and that Gervalta, or God, I can't say the name, sorry, but she is definitely going to be the 218th signature to push this thing over the top and force it to the floor. We have now had Speaker Johnson declare that they may not reopen the House this week when it's supposed to reopen, because she has talked about how she's like, I'm flying to D.C. and I'm going to get sworn in on Monday and we're getting this show on the road. And suddenly the Speaker is coming out and being like, I don't know if we're going to open the House on Monday. We did our part with the continuing resolution. We don't really have any business to get to the needs of the American people, their Congress representing them and working on the bills to make their lives better. We don't have any of that. So we might not reopen the House. And then on top of that, there's been some talk that Johnson and the Republicans are not going to swear her in until her election is official,
yeah,
which is bullshit because numerous people have been sworn in basically, if you have won the election and it's uncontested and your opponent's not resisting it, everyone just sort of says, yeah, you won and we're going to swear you in and it's all good. We're going to get this show on the road. And that's what happens for everybody else. But because this is such an important vote, the signature for the discharge petition, now suddenly Johnson and the Republicans are like, hey, until you come here with your sticker stamped by the Arizona Secretary of State saying that you totally won the election and it's certified, sucks to be you. We can't do anything for you, lady. And that's bullshit because they've never held anyone else to that standard. But they're trying to string it out for another 2 weeks before, like they actually said mid-October, she'd be certified as the winner, which is ludicrous because, as I've mentioned before, she won by a million. It was totally uncompetitive.
Yeah, and they're not even really trying that hard to hide the reason why they're doing it. They're just like, yeah, we're not going to do it. Why? Right, fuck you, that's why.
Yeah, oh, well, yeah, you know... Why aren't we certifying her? You know why we're not certifying her. And get fucked. We don't care that you know. We're not going to do anything about it. How do you like them apples? Yeah.
Yeah.
It is insane that this is where we are in American politics. At its basest level, it's madness that we have a political party protecting its sex-pest president. But it makes it even weirder and more fucked up that literally the ride or die lunatic base of the Republican Party right now is a conspiracy theory based on the idea that rich and powerful people are pedophiles and we need to take them down. And now their hero, their champion, is knee deep in a scandal involving the worst child trafficker on earth and is probably a pedophile himself. And they're just like, boop, boop, boop. No idea what you're talking about. Just going to move right along. Don't care. Not going to comment on it. And it's like, yo, QAnon, you're right. The government is run by a pedophile. It's your boy. Your boy. He's the pedophile.
Hey, you know, how many QAnon followers or people who scream about pedophiles have we seen arrested or busted with like terabytes of child porn? And it's kind of like Gus Frink. You know, oh, you donate to the police and the DEA, hide in plain sight. That, you know, QAnon is perfect for the people who actually are pedophiles.
Yeah, QAnon is just like the show Breaking Bad.
Yes.
I'm sorry. The Breaking Bad thing just broke my brain. I can't remember what I was about to say. But it was poignant and awesome, and I'm standing by that.
Oh God, I totally believe all of that.
I suck. I am the worst co-host of this podcast.
Eric's trenchant political analysis is why we're all here. So yeah.
No, Steph, it's not you. My brain is a leaky sieve. It's not. So don't blame you. Blame me.
Yeah. So it's really amazing to me that these people are like, I've seen people whining and complaining and they're just like, oh no, what are the Democrats going to do in the midterms and blah, blah, blah. And it's like, the economy is going to suck. Our healthcare is going to be through the roof. Inflation is going to be bad. And these people are going to be protecting a guy from having the Epstein files released. I think we're going to have a couple issues to run on. think we're going to be okay. I think the political winds will be back. Will be at our backs in 2026.
Especially if we can get a unified message going for once.
Which would just be your healthcare is through the roof and this guy's a pedophile.
I know. It seems easy, but then like Bernie will come up and be like, I think we should have Medicare for all and all cops should be hung in the streets.
Well, let's put Uncle Bernie in the closet and lock that shit up. And yeah, I mean, but the thing is that the right wing noise machine and the bullshit of our world is that if it's not Bernie saying it, if it's Larry Seven Digits on Twitter who says we should hang all the cops, they're going to be like, oh, these Democrats. That was the thing. Like the whole Democrats are cheering Charlie Kirk's murder. It's like, show us who they are. And it's a bunch of Reddit trolls and Twitter goons. And it's like, no, there's no elected officials who are tap dancing over this. It's just idiots on the internet. It's just assholes. It's just assholes being assholes. They're not Democrats. It's like, you fucking liberals are celebrating. It's like name an elected official who's doing it. Name one.
Every fucking Senate Democrat and most of the House Democrats just voted for Charlie Kirk. Every Democrat in Arizona just fucking voted for it. Give me a break.
Yeah.
Right. Exactly. We all bent the knee to Charlie Kirk's dead body, although he isn't dead and he's hanging out with Tupac and Elvis. I know this, yeah. But
yeah. I mean, in New Zealand.
Right, in New Zealand. Exactly. It's just this made up bullshit to get people upset and to claim that the Democrats are bad. And it's the ultimate double standard because anything any goober says on social media is reflective of mainstream Democrat ideology. Yet QAnon is in no way reflective of the Republicans. Donald Trump himself is in no way representative of mainstream Republican views, even though he's a Republican president. And it's just like, how does this work? Yeah, it's great. It's truly magical. Yeah. Oh God, I want to clip that sigh. That's like the perfect reaction to our politics right now. It's just.
All right. Do we want to talk the Epstein book now?
Oh yeah, bring up. Let's hit us with the book.
Yeah. So
this has been your book report for weeks. So the floor is yours.
I took a look through it, and you know, there's some stuff that people are showing a lot, like the, like just for a little background, just in case you're that guy who just woke up from a 10-year coma, and decided to check out this Hell World podcast to catch up on current events. And if you are, God help you. But anyway, So it came out that for Jeffrey Epstein's 50th birthday in 2003, Ghislaine Maxwell went around and got a whole lot of famous and just like influential people to write notes for this book that she made for his birthday. Bill Clinton's in there, Donald Trump's in there, Dershowitz is in there, a few other people. But so people were coming, and you know, there was this big controversy. Trump was claiming that the poem and drawing of a naked lady that is in there was not done by him. And, you know, it was done by Donald T. Trump, total different person. So
yes, exactly.
So,
Burns moment.
Yeah. So somebody, I think it was PBS that I looked it up on. They had like the entire thing on their website. So I was rifling through it looking for fun tidbits, and a lot of it's really hard to read because this is 2003 and it's written by a bunch of old white guys. So most of it's handwritten in like sloppy handwriting, and this is photocopies of sloppy handwriting, which makes it even worse. But I did find some stuff aside from the things that people have been spreading around that I thought was interesting. Like, here, let's see. Where's the beginning of this? I'm trying to click back, but it was the back button from the screenshot I took, because I'm a professional at this. Okay, so they had this one. It's got this picture of Epstein. Apparently, he had this big, huge fro back in the day, you know, because he's Jewish. So it reads like it's a personals ad or something. It says, "Financial strategist Jeffrey Epstein, 27." Talks only to people who make over $1 million a year! Exclamation point. If you're a open quote cute Texas girl, close quote, write this New York Dynamo ad, and then there's an address. And it's just just something about it just struck me as weird. Like this guy, everyone always talks about what a sexual dynamo this guy is. And he's putting out personal ads looking for a cute Texas girl. And then there's, this one I have seen people putting around. It says girls on my boat. We picked up girls on beach, went out on boat. I tell them with knife in my hand to take suits off. But Warren tells, don't worry, his name is JN. He's just joking. He live at so-and-so. I tell Mark to throw him into water. He did. And, I mean, aside from the serial killer sentence fragments that's in there, it's just this... I think it's supposed to be like this cute story. Like, hey, remember that time we had the girls on the boat and I told them to get naked or I cut them?